Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for each one gathered here this morning. I pray that you would bless Dale as he brings us the message. I know that you have something for us. I pray we could open our hearts and minds to hear it, understand it, and receive it. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Will, and Matt for leading too. That was good. I love that last song, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God." And how long do we praise him?
Forever.
Amen. For endless days we'll sing his praise, O Lord, forever. And so bless you with the worship, that the words that you spoke to your Heavenly Father, and what Dave was talking about as far as value as well. That's just it's a huge factor in our lives. We do value. We put lots of value on different things. But the question I want to ask myself is, what things are important? Like, are the things that I value most, are they important? Are they valuable? Or do I put a lot of value on things that in reality don't amount to that much? But bless you for leading. And it's good to have a couple people back. Sean, it's good to see you again. Steve and Krista were gone for a couple weeks, so it's good to have you back as well. So welcome back. And for all you visitors, Marlon and Brittany, it's good to have you here. So welcome. And even the people that come every week, bless you for being here. And welcome. I'm going to start by reading a verse in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. It says this, and this is where Jesus is preparing his disciples for the persecution. And in verse 32, he says this. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before the Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven." Now, if you think about that stuff a little bit, that's some pretty powerful stuff. What Jesus is saying, if you confess me, I will confess you, but if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. And about a week and a half ago, I was at work and sitting in my job consists of sometimes I'm in the office, sometimes on the road. And but I was in the office sitting at the desk, and my younger brother does all our bookkeeping. And he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he's like, "What is this?" He's like, "I have never seen anything like this before." And so he showed me. And here he was doing the checks, and someone had written a check, and it had a Bible verse up in the top left corner. You know how some checks have Bible verses on it? But this guy very deliberately took a pen, and he crossed out the verse, just the words. And the scripture had everything just crossed out. And we're like, "That's interesting." And I was kind of starting to get upset. I was. And I thought, you know, this righteous anger is kind of building up within me. I'm like, what was this guy thinking? Like, why would you get checks with verses on, and then you scribble it out with a pen? What's the deal? I mean, you know, who do you think you are? And so I started kind of getting upset. I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous that you would do something like this. Why would you? You know, did he do it on all his checks? I don't know. Did it, maybe depending where he sent his checks, he scribbled the verse out? I don't know. And so, being where I was at right then, I was actually okay with thinking I was being right by letting this righteous anger, you know, boil up within me. You know, this is just not right. This is ridiculous. And it went on for probably about a span of 2 hours. And the Lord told me, he said, "Dale, you do the same thing." I said, "Wait a second, what? I never scribbled out a verse on a check." Like, "Dale, you might have never scribbled out a verse on a check, but there's times that you deny me where you shouldn't deny me." And so that's where I'm coming from a little bit this morning. And so I started looking at my life. And really, and then looking at these scriptures here, that Jesus said, you know, if we confess him, he'll confess us. But if we deny him, he'll deny us as well. And so I started looking at some things in my life. Are there some times in my life, or are there some times in your life, where you as a Christian try to cover something up? or you're embarrassed to pray publicly, or you go to eat and, you know, with your family and you see some people over there and we're embarrassed to close our eyes and pray. Is that the same thing? Or maybe there's some other thing. You name it. There could be all kinds of different ways. Maybe you see someone in need, like the Good Samaritan. And that person knows that you're a Christian, but you just walk right by. Is it any different than just scribbling out a verse? Where people, where you as a Christian, where you just simply are okay with not letting your light shine, or you're okay with letting something go on top of your light and it just becoming dim? Is there any difference? And I had to repent of it. I repented of several different things. And I want to thank God for bringing that to me. And it's a journey I'm on right now as far as God had the okay to do that in my life. I'm glad he did. Because I'm asking God, God, where do I need correction? Where are some things in my life that I need correction? And this was one area, and he showed it to me very plainly. And so you fill in the blank of places where you are as a Christian, you simply choose to cover up your identity in Christ. It can be in all different places. It can be all different ways. But that's a little bit what we're going to talk about here this morning. And thinking about that, and thinking about us, I had on Facebook the title of the message of Ignoring God or Embracing God. And after I was studying a little bit, I think I should have worded it more Denying God and Embracing God, because that's what we're going to look at. The first part we're going to look at a little bit about denying God. When we simply deny our Heavenly Father, maybe sometimes we don't do it intentionally, but I think there's some times where we simply do it intentionally. Just like this check was intentionally, the verse was scribbled out. I didn't have anything to say after the Lord revealed some things to me to where I didn't, as a Christian, I was covering stuff up. Or I didn't do things that I should have done as a Christian. And so I thought of, one of the first people I thought of was Peter. And you can turn there. Turn to Luke 22, 54 to 62. And in Luke 22, I'm going to read this story. And before we get too hard on Peter, we're going to look at this story and we're going to break this down a little bit. Luke 22, verse 54. And this is where Peter denies knowing Jesus. And we all know who Peter was. Peter was one of the disciples. And let's read the story, and then we're going to see if we can't learn a little bit, some stuff here, before we really crack down on him. And 54, Luke 22, 54. And they took him, they're talking about Jesus, they took him, and they led him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they were set down together, and Peter sat down with them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and he earnestly looked at him, and he said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." After a little while, another one said, "Thou art also with them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." About the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of the truth, this fellow was also with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," or "you shall deny me three times." Now there's two things that I want us to learn from here, looking at Peter. And one is in verse 54. Okay, they took Jesus, they led him away, they brought him into the priest's house, and it said, and Peter followed far off. Peter distanced himself from Jesus. Oh, he was still following, but he wasn't as close. So step number one for Peter was the distance between him and Christ. Is there a problem with that? One thing I want us to be aware of, although we might never deny Christ, but are we starting to distance ourselves from Christ? We're still following. We're slipping, but we might not be falling. but we're just okay with getting further and further away from Christ. I think that was step number one for Peter, for denying him. And so let's look at your life. Let's look at my life. Is there something in my life where I'm starting to become distant from my Heavenly Father? I'm still following, but it's just getting further and further away. Peter was following from a distance. When you're following from a distance, is it easier to give in to certain things? Not only was Peter following from a distance, but look at the people he was hanging out with. I mean, it doesn't say, you know, what kind of crowd he was in when he denied Peter, when he denied Jesus three times, but it says he was in a crowd of people. And so what crowd of people are you with? If you're in a certain crowd of people, it's going to be a lot easier to deny Jesus. Depends who you're with. And so we look at his life here. If you're in the wrong crowd, wrongdoing is going to come pretty easily. So the two things I want us to learn from Peter here before we give him a hard time about denying Christ is we look at the journey that Peter has here. First of all, he was following from a distance. And then he was in a crowd to where I think it was so easy just to, no, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. Oh, no, I don't know him. And then he denied him. So ask yourself, is there things in my life, is there things in your life to where you're starting to distance yourself from Jesus? And what for crowd are you in? Because that was the setting that Peter was in when he denied Jesus. So where are you at? Thinking of just denying Jesus and looking at that, there's other scriptures as well that we could look at. People that forgot about God, people that denied God. I just used this one. This was the first one that came to me. So we talk about denying our Heavenly Father, but I also want to flip the page here a little bit and talking about embracing our Heavenly Father, because I don't want to just all, you know, this is valid. This was real for me when God just revealed this to me about a week and a half ago of different areas in my life to where I am, you could use the word denying if you want, or just, you know, maybe even distancing myself from God and saying, you know what, this area in my life is just starting to become distant, and I want to be close to God. I want to be in a good group of friends are important, so I want to be close to God to where I embrace God. And when we embrace God, we're going to have a different, completely different outcome. Jesus said, if you confess me, I'm going to confess you. But if you deny me, I will deny you as well. We have a choice. So let's look just a little bit on the flip side now of embracing. And I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And I love this chapter, and I love this picture. I love this story in Isaiah 6. There's just a couple verses, but I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled his temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And they cried to one another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah talking about himself, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean people. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he taken from the tongs from the altar, and he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but ye understand not, and seek not, but perceive not. And I just love the story of Isaiah here in chapter 6. where he sees the Lord high and sitting on the throne. Now, first of all, he's in a position to where he sees the Lord. So we all, if I would ask you, do you want to see the Lord? I'm sure you would all say, yeah, I want to see the Lord. So let me ask you another question. Are you in a position to where you can see the Lord? Isaiah was in a position to where he could see the Lord because he said he saw the Lord. And my son Isaiah is over there. What? So Isaiah saw the Lord. Then another thing is, look what he does when he sees God. What is your picture of embracing God? What does it look like in your life to embrace God? For him, here in verse 5, he saw the glory. He saw the posts of the door were moving. The house was filled with smoke. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people. Now, that is not a bad place to be. To be in the presence of God, to where he comes, and you being so close to God, you recognize, woe is me, for I am undone. And then what does he do? In verse 8, it said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I, send me. The other thing I love about this picture is he was in a position to where he could hear God. Because he said he heard from him. We say we want to hear from God. Are you in a position to where you can hear from God? Am I in a position to where I can hear from God? Isaiah was, and he heard from God. God said, I'm looking for someone to send. Isaiah's like, I'm in. I look at this picture, and I look at this as a perfect example of embracing God. Him coming to God, seeing God, meeting God, hearing from God, and not only stopping there. He heard from God. God said, go. He said, I'm in. And he goes. That is a beautiful picture of embracing the journey of God and going. He heard from God. In Matthew, another verse I'm going to turn to, Matthew 6, verse 6, says this. Jesus is teaching about prayer here. In Matthew, 6, verse 6, he says this. But thou, when thou prayest, not if you pray, but when you pray, he's expecting that you're going to pray. When you pray, enter into your closet. When you shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. Now, we probably all know this verse. We probably all heard this verse. But Jesus is talking about prayer here. And I think the reason I brought this up is this is another way of embracing God, is our prayer life. But how do you pray? And so looking at this verse here, he says, enter your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. Okay, so is he saying we have to literally get in the closet and always shut the door? I mean, I don't have a closet at work. I don't have a closet in my truck. You know, I don't have a closet anywhere to go in a closet. That's not what he's talking about. I think what he's talking about here is you can pray anywhere, but we need to learn to shut the door. And so what do I mean by shutting the door? Okay? Distractions are probably one of the biggest enemies against embracing God, I think, right now. And our technology, our current technology, doesn't help that at all. I think that's a huge enemy on embracing God, on embracing your prayer life. We need to learn to start shutting the door. And what I mean by that, if you look at this verse here, it says, when you shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. The Father which sees in secret rewards you openly. So whatever excites your mind, your curiosity, whatever scatters your thoughts, whatever just really takes your interests captive, can be a distraction to your prayer life. Thank you, Steve. Can be a distraction to your prayer life. Isaiah. Careful. And so we think of embracing God. We want to embrace God. One of your biggest enemies in embracing God is going to be Satan is going to do whatever he can to destroy your prayer life. Because prayer is powerful. Jesus says here, when you pray, shut the door. Lord, show to us what for doors need to be shut when we pray. There's just a lot of distractions want to come in and disrupt your prayer life, disrupt your time with God. I think that's what he's a point that he wants to get across here is when you pray in secret, learn to pray, shut the door of distractions. When you pray in secret, guess what I'm going to do? He says, when you pray in secret, I'm going to see you in secret. The Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly is what the Bible says. God won't miss secret prayers. Okay? He's looking for those. But we need to learn to shut the door. We want to embrace God. I think if all of us want to embrace God, but I'm just telling you, that's any distraction that Satan can use, he's going to bring it. But let's learn to shut the door. How do we do this? How do we learn to shut the door? And it's a question that I'm going to kind of let you hang. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of answers there because I think there's just a lot of doors or a lot of things that can come into our life. And I just want you to ask your Heavenly Father, Father, are there doors? What are some things that are coming in my doors that are distracting my connection with you? And as he reveals them to you, you need to take them to the cross and repent and start learning to shut the door. Because we want to start embracing God. We want to embrace God. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 17. I'm going to read another story here. And I love this story as well. Now, even before I read it here, actually, no, I'll read it. And then come back and talk about embracing God and the influence. What we're going to see here is the influence you have of getting someone else to embrace God. Okay? It's one thing for you to embrace God, but do you have the potential to be such an influence on someone else that they can embrace God? Let's check out this story. This is a cool story. Okay? Now, Naaman. Naaman was a captain of the host. It says he was a great man with his masters. He was honorable because the Lord had given him deliverance into Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. But he had a problem. This is a great man. It says he's a great man. But he was a leper. So there was his problem. As great of a man he was, all the authority and power he was, he had a sticker. He was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out of the company. Actually, you know what? I'm going to... I think I'm just going to... I'm not going to read everything. I'm going to jump in verse 11. 2 Kings 5, verse 11, okay? Here it says, Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned and went his way. And this was, probably a lot of you know the story. This was after he was told to go into the river and, dunk in the river 7 times. And he was upset because he didn't want to do this. And verse 14, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came back as the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee a blessing on thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So here we have the story of a little maid, okay? Naaman was a great man. We talked about that a little bit ago. Naaman took some people captive, and this little maid was taken captive. And this little maid looks at this guy that has taken him captive and recognizes that he has leprosy. Now, she would have a lot of different choices to make. This guy was her capturer. She could have gossiped about him. She could have made fun of him. She could have wished that he has more leprosy. She could have done that. And sometimes we do that. If someone really hurts us, we just really want to hurt them back. Because she was taken captive. But you know what she did? She saw the weakness in Naaman. And she said, I know somebody that can help you. And as the story goes, she made things happen to where he went, and Naaman was whole. Now, check it out in verse 15. In this is talking about Naaman here. And he returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Naaman recognized God, and he embraced God at that point. So here we have a great captain, a great man, that I don't think he was embracing God before. And one of his little girls that he captured, that he probably didn't care about at all, she cared about him. And through the steps that she took, he embraced God. And so you have the potential to influence others to embrace God. We do. We do. Whether it's someone little, whether it's someone big, it doesn't matter who they are. Let's take the opportunities to cause others to embrace God. That's the story. And thinking of this little maid here too. I mean, the scripture, New Testament wasn't even in, but 1 Peter 3:9 says, not rendering evil for evil, but blessing for blessing. She did that verse. It wasn't even written yet, but that's what she did. And so that's what I want us to do, and recognize the fact that we have this ability. We do. So let's go and do it. So just thinking here of denying God, embracing God, and maybe your thought mind is going all over. There's all kinds of people and stories that we could go to, people that forgot about God, people that denied God, and then on the flip side, there's time and time again of, you know, men and women who embrace God, and you just think about all kinds of people. You have, you know, Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Gideon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the disciples. You know, you name them, there's, you could have a long list of men who embraced God. But you could also have a long list of people who denied God. Even groups of people that denied God or forgot about God. But this morning, I just want to ask you the question, are you denying God? Is there something in your life to where you're getting a pen out and you're crossing out just like that guy did on that check? Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe that was his intent. I don't know. Is there something in your life to where you're just embarrassed? Is there an area in your life to where maybe you become like Peter? You're becoming like Peter. You're still following after God. You're slipping, but you're not falling. And there's just a distance. You're distancing yourself from God. Peter was not in a good group of friends. I don't think he was when he denied God. I think it was easy for him to deny God at that point. So what group of friends are you hanging out with? Be careful how hard we are on Peter. Because I think there's some things in our life to where we do the exact same thing. And then on the flip side, we have just this thing of embracing God. And Jesus says, if you confess me, I'm going to use the word embrace me. If you confess me, I will confess you. It's just completely opposite picture. And there will be a completely opposite end result when you embrace God. And you just say, God, I'm in. Like Isaiah, whom shall I send? Isaiah says, I'm all in. And he didn't stop at that, but he actually went. And that's a key point as well. So, Lord, give us the courage to do the things that you want us to do. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to do. And so let's do. Let's be doers of the word. So what should we do when there's some things, and maybe God is revealing some things. Hopefully he is. Maybe he's revealing some things to you to where you know, it would come under the category of denying God or being embarrassed of God. Or what should we do about it? And I love I shared this a while ago, but in the Old Testament, you look at the end of Malachi in the Bible is what they call 400 silent years. From the end of Malachi until in Mark, the first chapter of Mark, they call that the 400 years of silence to where God didn't speak anything. There was silence. But in Mark 1, verse 15, there's 400 years of silence, and Almighty God comes back onto the scene. I'm going to turn to that, and I'm going to read it. This is our Heavenly Father. In Mark 1:14, here's what he says. So this is Jesus, the God, coming back and about to speak after 400 years. Here's what he says. You ready? Now, after that John was put in the prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom of God and saying, here's what he spoke. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe. There it is. When God brings something into our life, that's what we need to do. Repent and believe. Now, repentance is not a bad place. And that's something, another thing that we need to get into our head. Repenting is a place of freedom. Repenting is a place of restoration. Repenting is something that Jesus told us to do when something comes against us. Something that we're not doing right. Denial. Jesus says repent. And so that's what I'm asking you to do here this morning. The things that God is revealing to you that you're denying, repent. It's a great place to be. There's no fear from God's perspective. There might be fear of man. There might be fear of, what are other people going to think of me if I repent of this? Jason, can you pick up some music just so it's off? Not only to repent, but Jesus says repent and then believe. That's another step that's important. Repenting is one thing. Bringing your things to the foot of the cross and laying there is one thing. But believing that you can be forgiven and set free is another thing. And that's what I want you to walk in as well. So this morning, I want you to embrace God. John 15:5 says this. It says, abide in me. Abide. That word means hang out. Okay? Jesus says, hang out with me. Do you hang out with God? Abide in me and I in you. He says, the branch can't bear fruit on its own. You will not bear fruit without hanging out with Christ. You won't. But he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit on its own. I want a quick turn there. Because then the last part of the verse is not coming to me. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, and the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So this morning, let's just bow our heads, close your eyes.
Father, this morning, I want to thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And Lord, I want to thank you for giving me a chance. Father, I want to thank you for revealing things in my life that I needed to correct, that I needed to repent of. And you showed me that through someone crossing out a verse on a check. But Father, this morning, as we're sitting here, we want to come to your feet. Father, I'm asking you that you would reveal to us places or things where we've been denying you. Places where we've been embarrassed to let our light shine. Places to where we simply put our light out intentionally because of fear of man. Just take this time right now, take a minute or two. If the Lord's sharing something or putting something on your heart, repent of it. I encourage you to repent of it. Repentance is a great place. It really is. It really is. This is between you and God. This is not between you and anybody else. Father, we want to embrace the things that you embrace. Father, we read that verse early. If we confess you, you will confess us. That's what we want. We want to embrace you this morning, Father. And Lord, if there's something in our lives as well that are just simply being huge distractions in our walk with you, we recognize we're in 2017. Most of us have cell phones, and a lot of times we're never far from it. But is it being a distraction from our connecting with you? Father, what is it in our prayer life that we need to learn to shut the door and get back to the thing of praying in secret? Because your word says when we pray in secret, you hear in secret. And so, Father, teach us how to shut the door to where we can embrace you in the quietness and just who you are. Father, give us the courage to remove the distractions that hinder us. Father, we want to embrace all that you have for us. Lord, teach us how to embrace. And Father, I know that on the journey with you, when we embrace you, Father, you have all different kinds of ways to give us joy, to give us strength, to give us courage, to give us peace, to give us hope. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy, and I thank you for that this morning. And so, Father, I speak a blessing into each person here this morning that you would teach us how to run and not grow weary. We would walk and not faint. And so, Father, as we journey with you, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would teach us to embrace your things and not be embarrassed of embracing you. But we would live our lives for your glory. And, Father, we read the story of Isaiah. Isaiah was a great example of coming before your throne, being in a position to where he could see you, being in a place to where he could hear you, he heard you, and then he obeyed. Father, calls us to be obedient to the things you call us to do. So, Father, thank you for this morning. I speak a blessing into each person here. And so, Father, may we live our lives for your honor and for your glory. Father, we want to embrace the things you have for our lives. Father, you have begun a good work in us. We'll bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6. I pray that verse into existence for your glory. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I just praise you and bless you and thank you for everyone that's here in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you as you embrace God from here on out on your journey. May it become a reality in your life. So, bless you. One more announcement, Dave. I didn't mention this to you. Marcus is not here this morning, but there's a youth service here tonight, and everyone is invited to the youth service. I think it's at 6:30? 6:30 tonight? So, you're invited to come, or welcome to come.
Thank you for that message, Dale. It really spoke to me a lot. It was challenging.